Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
The theme today is our lives are defined by the dreams that move us to act. And so I'm always reading the paper and clipping images that I think might have relevance in a message. And the first image I have for you is 104-year-old Dorothy Hoffner. And she set the Guinness record for the oldest person to skydive. So I have a 1 minute news clip here, and you can revel in the. If any of you say you're too old, you're not too old. Look at Dorothy.
Dorothy Hoffner, who recently attempted to break a world record, has died. According to the New York Times, she died in her sleep at the Chicago area senior center where she lived. A week or so ago, Dorothy went skydiving. She made the leap attached to a U.S. Parachute Association tandem instructor.
It was wonderful. It was a nice, peaceful, and I had to keep myself awake so I could see the scenery.
It wasn't the first time Dorothy had been skydiving. She did it when she turned 100. But this time, it was for a goal, to break a Guinness World Record and be the oldest person to go skydiving. The current record was set in May 2022 by a 103-year-old Swedish woman. Caretakers are hoping Dorothy will earn the recognition posthumously. Dorothy worked for 40 years as a telephone operator with Illinois Bell, which then became AT&T. Dorothy Hoffner was 104 years old.
All right, no excuses from any of you. She lives her dream out. She got out of the plane at 13,500 feet and skydived, and then four or five days later, she went home to be with the Lord. She was living her dream all the way to the end. Now I got to show you another dream. This one is kind of sad. Woman rescued from outhouse toilet after climbing in to retrieve Apple Watch. She's using a porta potty at a Michigan state park, drops her iWatch in, and goes in after it. They now have a sign on this outhouse and all Michigan outhouses: if you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not venture inside the containment area. Serious injury may occur. Our lives are defined by the dreams that move us to act. One lady followed her dream into the sky. Another lady followed her dream into the depths. Don't do this at home. You know, that would be just like me, though. You have a beautiful iWatch, and it just seems like it's just out of your reach, right? And then you go in. But our lives are defined by the dreams that move us to act. Our last sermon in this series, we saw everything begins with a dream, and we saw Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and that brought together the civil rights movement. Good dreams lead us to a good future. Bad dreams lead us to a bad future. Satan has a dream. His dream is that he is going to rule the world. He even told Jesus when he tempted him. He's delusional, but he said, I own all this. He said, I'm the king of all of this. He owns nothing. But he told Jesus, hey, this is all mine. He really believes it's his. And Satan has brought untold suffering and destruction as he continues to move, and we pray against him and stand against him. Putin has a dream. He wants to reestablish the old Soviet Union. And he never believed that Ukraine ever left when they declared their independence in 1991. And he is going to bring them back. Even if every man, woman, and child has to be killed to do it, he has a dream. And he's following it up. Good dreams lead to good places. Bad dreams lead to bad places. What dreams do you have today? Well, we're going to look at Genesis 11, the very last verse, and then Genesis 12, 1 to 8. And we're going to look at Abraham, the dream that God gave Abraham, and see what he did with it. So Genesis 11, 31, Terah took his son Abram. It was Abram before God renamed him Abraham. His grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans, which is somewhere in Iraq, modern-day Iraq, to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And then in Genesis 12, 1 to 8, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Just this week, that phrase, the land I will show you. Didn't give him a final destination, just kind of like when you wake up, I'll tell you where to go. I will make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. There's the dream. So Abraham went, as the Lord told him, and Lot with him, and Abraham was 75 years old. A lot of you think, hey, I've done my thing, and I've dreamed my dreams. He's 75 when he gets the dream that's going to define his life, and he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they had accumulated and all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived. Abram traveled the land as far as the site of the great tree in Moreh in Shechem. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills of east of Bethel and pitched his tent in Bethel, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Our dreams, our lives are defined by the dreams that move us. Notice again that wherever Abraham went, he built an altar, a place where he could remember, a place where he could worship. Next week as we go into the sanctuary, that's where, in a sense, we have our altar. That's where we gather to remember and worship our God. All right, I want to give you the whole sermon in one slide. Abraham, to live out God's dream, Abraham listened to God, and then he acted. He acted on incomplete information and had to make sacrifices as he went. And so, first of all, Abraham listened to God. God spoke, and Abraham listened. The same way Moses moved to the side and listened, saw a bush that was burning but didn't burn up, and he went over there, and that's where Moses got his dream to go into Egypt and to confront Pharaoh and to help the Israelites make their way out. God spoke and Abraham listened. It says in Acts 7, the glory of the Lord appeared to Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia. So God will come to you in some form. He's going to reveal his glory in some way. He's going to speak, and you have to be listening. You just have to be, first thing you have to do is you have to listen. And that can be challenging. There was nothing in Abraham's culture that was listening to the living God. They were listening. Haran was known for its worship of the moon. There was the moon god. And so all that Abraham grew up knowing was you worship the God who gave us the moon. Nobody was listening to the living God. But Abraham, somehow God's glory was revealed to him, and he started listening to a new dream that led him to a new place. Are you listening to God? Technology today fills our lives with endless information and images, and so we are endlessly distracted. That would be the main reason that we're not growing in our spiritual life, is that we have a million things that we can focus on. And you know, the standard, they actually now, I read some medical, there's actually a condition now that has to do with the neck. And people your neck is at this angle looking at your screen, and it causes issues there. So they're it's called like cell phone neck or whatever, but we're always looking down. We've always got stuff going, and God speaks sometimes in a still small voice. And so how do we listen to God? Well, we pray our prayers, and then we listen to his still small voice. We read Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, and so all you got to do is open it up, and even though there are difficult passages, God's going to speak to you through his Word. He will. Every one of you in this room probably has an experience where you've opened up the Bible and you were going through a difficult time, and lo and behold, that word that you read from Scripture speaks to you, speaks to your very situation. How does that happen? Other than it's inspired and God uses it, it's how He speaks to us. God is speaking to us right now. We're in worship together. Jesus is with us, and we're listening, hopefully, to what God wants to say to us, and then we find fellowship and ministry. So if you're open, God will speak to you. Just pray, God, I'm open. So number one, we listen. Number two, we have to act. It says He went, He set out, He traveled, He arrived. He went from Ur to Haran to Shechem to Bethel. Basically, Abraham was willing to go wherever God led him. Okay? When we connect with God's dream, we need sometimes to move. And that can be a challenge. And sometimes I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for a long time, and I feel like, God, I'm tired of moving. I just wanna sit here and kind of take it in. And I think if wherever the Spirit of God is, He's gonna move you. And the Christian life is not supposed to be lived in a recliner. We're supposed to get up and be up. And if a 104-year-old lady named Dorothy can jump out of a plane, I'm thinking this week, I can get up off my recliner and get out and serve someone who needs a meal or listen to someone who's going through a tough time. We need to get up, and when we get up and move, God's gonna do something neat. Yesterday I had the opportunity to marry a young couple, David and Adia. David sold me my car I bought. Actually, Mona's car and my car. He was the guy at the dealer where I bought it, and as I'm settling on the price of the car and buying the car, he says, "Oh, I'm engaged." And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor of a church." And then we got to talking, and I ended up marrying them yesterday at the barn in Marietta. Anybody remember that venue? It's a neat. It's a barn, and it was an outside wedding. And at the end of the service, all the people are there, David and Adia, beautiful bridesmaids and the groomsmen, and I brought out there was a container of sand, blue sand for David, and there was yellow sand for Adia, and there was white sand for me. And I just said, "You have acted on your dream of love for one another, and you are committing your lives to one another, and now you're going to be able to take home something that will help you to remember what you did." And I said, "I'm going to pour the white sand. God is going to be your foundation. And then David, you pour your sand in. And then Adia, you pour your sand in. Then I'm going to pour a little more of God in, and a little more of David, a little more of Adia, and then a little more of God." And before I left the reception last night, I took a picture of it. And I just thought, you know, for the rest of their lives, they're going to remember that their love drove them to act. And they stood before a minister in front of their friends, and they said, "I do." And it's powerful, isn't it? When you act on the dream, boy, God begins to do some work. And her 91-year-old grandfather walked her down the aisle. He's weeping the whole way. Well, I'm weeping. I mean, he could barely walk. He's a Korean War veteran. And afterwards, at the reception, while the pictures are being taken, and I went up to him, and he still has tears in his eyes. He says, I prayed to God, and I said, "God, let me live. I want to live to see my daughter get married." He said, "And I saw it today." And he says, "Now, I'm praying for an extension." He said, "I want to live until they have their first child." And I said, "Well, I'm going to pray for your extension, for God to let you live a little bit longer." So Abraham listened. He acted on the dream that God gave him. But notice that Abraham was not given complete information or a roadmap. In fact, Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land." Can you imagine Abraham coming up to Sarah and saying, "Hey, God's given me a dream and we're leaving." And Sarah says, "Where?" And Abraham says, "I don't know." And he says, "But we're leaving." And I imagine Sarah says, "Well, no, we're not until you give me an idea." I can imagine in my marriage, I come to Mona and I say, "Mona, hey, we're leaving. And I don't know where we're going. And Mona would say, oh, that's great. Let's go. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. I don't know where we're going. She'd be ready to go. And I like GPS. I love GPS. In fact, yesterday I found the barn only because I put the address into my phone, and the whole way there's this really calm, beautiful sounding lady saying, you're on the right road for 10 more miles, and then you're going to need to veer right onto Pleasant Valley Road and stay on that for another 4 miles. And there it goes. Abraham did not have a GPS. He had to live daily by faith. Now, faith is a confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, 1. This is what the ancients were commended for. Abraham's daily prayer was, God, I've come this far. Where to today? You know, you've got the plan and I'm your man. You know, every day we have to live like that, don't we? I don't know where God's going to take me. You don't know where God's going to take you that day. And so you just say, God, wherever you need me to go, may the wind of your spirit blow me and take me where I need to go. Give me the faith of Abraham to hear your voice, to embrace your dream, and to move out even when I don't know where I'm going. And then notice with me that he was willing to make sacrifices. He left his home. He left some of his possessions, took some with him, left his family, his friends, his security, left his old gods, and he went out. And so if you're going to follow God, it means you're going to have to leave some things behind. It means you're going to have to be willing to make some changes. Now, we are new creations in Christ. The old is leaving. The new is coming. And that sounds great, doesn't it? Only I like the old. I'm used to the old. I like that. I'm used to it. It's familiar. And God may say, you know, you got to leave some of that behind if you're going to go where I need you to go. You're going to have to lose that attitude. You're going to have to begin to move in this direction or stay away from that person and spend some more time with these people. So let me give you the overview one more time. I think the next slide. So to live out God's dream, Abraham listened to God. God came to him in glory, spoke to him, still small voice, whatever. He listened, saw, he acted, didn't have complete information, but he went anyway. He realized he was leaving home, so he's going to have to leave some things behind, but he made the sacrifices. And I couldn't help but think of what Jesus did with his own disciples in Matthew 4:18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. There's the dream. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. You see, the disciples went through the same process that Abraham went through. They listened to Jesus, and they got the dream. We were fishing for fish. Now we're going to fish for people. They just left. They just left and followed Jesus. I'm trying to imagine if I could do that. They left everything, and they followed him. Jesus didn't tell them exactly where they're going. They just figured it out as they went, which, by the way, if you want a great depiction of what it was like to walk with Jesus, watch The Chosen. It's so powerful the way they depict the disciples as they walk with Jesus. And he interacts with them and he shows them as they go. And Jesus said all along that you're going to face some difficult times. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy following me. God's dream inside of us is like a spiritual GPS system. It guides us from day to day down the road of life. What happens in your GPS system when you get off the road? Rerouting. In fact, I had a dentist appointment in Marietta this week, and I had it all set, and I was going down 7th Street, and I remembered I needed to stop by the church to get something. So I veered off on Liberty, and the GPS had me going to Marietta, but I turned left off at 7th on the Liberty, and at every street it said, turn right, and now turn right, and now turn. And the GPS was blowing up because at every turn, it was telling me what I needed to do to get back on the path that I needed to go. And that's what God will do in your life. At every crossroads, if you're willing, he will reroute you. But you got to be willing to listen to the voice that's saying, turn right. A lot of us turn off and we just keep going. So we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit is going to work in real time to reroute you to where God wants you to go. And it's a better place than where you even imagined, that you even wanted to go. So my life has been defined by the times when I heard the dream, when I acted, and when I moved. I remember multiple times as a child growing up in Grace Methodist Church, as a child, something happened in the service, and I'd get up and I'd go to the altar. I remember as a kid thinking, what am I doing? It's just like something moved me, and I'm going in front of the people. It was a huge church. I bet that church could hold 1,000 people. It was huge. And yet something was said, or the Spirit moved, and I moved. And it's a time that I remember. And then as a high school kid, I accepted Christ, and I came back, and we started a Bible study in high school. And then I went to college, and the degree program ended up being kind of a pre-seminary degree. And then I ended up leaving Missouri and going to Massachusetts, where I did my master's work. And then I'm in Massachusetts doing ministry when I get a letter from Clarksburg saying, hey, we need a pastor. And the Lord's brought me to Clarksburg, first to Clarksburg and then to Parkersburg. But at every point in my life, I've been listening. God speaks. And then you go. And as you go, God kind of shows you. And it's neat how that works. Well, Rick Warren, in his book, Created to Dream, Chapter 3. I want to read you just a quote out of that. A dream is worthless until you wake up and act on it. You'll never fulfill God's dream in your life until you press through the decision phase of faith. He says the heroes of the Bible were bold decision makers. Noah got the dream of saving the world from a flood, and so he builds the ark. Abraham gets the dream of being a great nation, and so he leaves his country and heads to Canaan. Moses gets the dream of leading the people out of slavery, and so he heads out to take on Pharaoh. Jesus challenges the disciples to join him in ministry, and Peter says, hey, I want to walk on water, and Jesus says, come on. And he does pretty good until he looks at the waves, and then he starts to sink. But all the people God uses made a decision and acted on it. To follow God's dream, you let go of your security. You can't move forward in faith while holding on to the past. And he has this great image of the circus trapeze. Remember, how many of you went to the circus as a kid and the trapeze artists? And I remember the shrine would come down to the big shrine mosque in Springfield, and the circus would come to town. They always had trapeze artists, and they would swing out, and they'd throw the other swing over. And what do you have to do if you're a trapeze artist to go from this bar to that bar? You got to let go of it. You got to let go of that to go over to the new. That's a great image. You got to let go of the old to move into the new. And that is hard to do. And if you pick up, there's a few more copies of this book back there. We bought about 50 of them, and there's just a few back there. But you'll notice, if you look at chapter 3, there's a 7-point strategy for going from your dream to action. And I'll give you the outline, and you can read it for yourself. But you have to pray for guidance. Anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God. Get the facts, gather the evidence, write up your pro-con list. Ask for advice, wise people, talk to wise people. Calculate the cost. Every decision has a price tag. It'll cost you time, money, energy, reputation, talent, resources. Prepare for problems, okay? Murphy's Law, if it can go wrong, it will. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Problems are inevitable. Face your fears, because the thing that holds us back from acting is the fear that we're going to fail, or the fear that we're going to be embarrassed, or the fear that we're going to be seen for who we are. And so fear holds us back, but faith moves us forward. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then make the decision. You make the call. Just do it. Our lives are defined by the dreams that move us to act. And then I thought about James, and I thought about James and John. Jesus in Matthew 7 says, those who hear my words and what? Act on it. It'll be like you're building your house on a solid rock, and when the storms come, you're going to stand. If you hear my words and you don't act, it's like you've built your life on sand, and when the storms come, you're going to fall. Jesus said, you got to hear me and you got to act, and that's the only solid foundation you have in life. And then James says, faith without works is dead. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. But the faith that saves is never alone. The faith that saves is going to move you. Faith that saves is going to move you to act. And so James says, you know, you're talking to someone and they're hungry or they don't have a place to stay, and you look at them and say, hey, God bless you. God bless you, and then you walk away. He says, how can God live in you? You have someone in need, and you walked away from them. Faith without works is dead. And so I remember a story I've told before of Homer and Emmylou courting on the front porch swing. Homer's very much in love with his beautiful, beloved Emmylou. However, the poor boy could not muster up enough courage necessary to express his love. Perhaps he thought he could talk his way into acting. He says, Emmylou, if I had 1,000 eyes, they would all be looking at you. He said, Emmylou, if I had 1,000 arms, they would all be holding you. Emmylou, if I had 1,000 lips, they would all be kissing you. And Emmylou was getting a little frustrated with this process. And she says, Homer, quit talking about what you don't have and use what you do have. A little less talk and a lot more action. We got to move this along. And I wonder, sometimes I hear God saying, you know, you're all talk. I don't see a lot of action. Are you willing to move out? Well, does Emmanuel have a dream? We do. And in fact, when you get into the sanctuary, Joanne Boggs has ordered some banners that are going to be on the side as you walk down the side aisles. And our vision, our mission, our dream is to love God, and you'll see that on a banner. We're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to include others. That's what we have to do. We have to look out and find other people that need a fellowship, and we're going to include them no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter where they've been. We've got to find a way to include everybody. Everybody needs to be brought into a fellowship group where they feel connected, and then everyone's gifted, and hopefully we'll get involved somewhere. So years ago, I was at Six Flags, and my kids came up and said, hey, Dad, we found a roller coaster that even you can go on. They said, it's real easy. There's nothing to it. So I believed them. And I got on it, and it was one of these terror rides. You know, the kind, the corkscrew where you go up. I remember like the third time I was going upside down, I just remember holding on for dear life and yelling out, you lied to me. Mike, I'll close with this. Mike Iaconelli says, I believe roller coasters are an accurate model of the Christian life. You say yes to Jesus, and suddenly you're strapped in, and you think, I'm going to die. You begin that long, slow, clickety climb of growth, Sunday school, baptism, church membership, and you think, hey, no problem, I can follow Jesus anywhere. Then, zoom, you jerk into the twists and turns of life. Hard left, sharp right, up, down, and then upside down. And when you follow Jesus, it's the breathtaking, thrill-filled, bone-rattling adventure of a lifetime where every moment matters. Following Jesus is about living life fully and abundantly. Mike Iaconelli concluded, I want to look back on my life and say, wow, what a ride. Wow, what a ride. Yeah. I don't know where God's taking us, but God is here. And I feel His Spirit. It has been good being in the fellowship hall. Would you agree? I don't know what God's going to do, but I know He's going to do something. I know He's going to do something good. And I'm excited about the people who've never been here that are going to show up. People are coming forward to kneel, people coming forward to rededicate their life, to receive Christ, people coming forward to get married, get baptized. Who knows what God's going to do, but it's going to be a great ride. Yeah, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Abraham. You spoke to him, he listened, and he acted. He didn't know where he was going, and he followed you. The dream was so real, so powerful, that you moved him into a new land, into a new life. And that's what we need today, Father. We want to listen to you, and then we want to act on what you have called us to do. And we're just thankful that you love us that much. Be with Emmanuel in the days to come. Be with us next week as we move back into our sanctuary and celebrate your faithfulness together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.